Radio Prague News.
President Václav Klaus has strongly rejected allegations that the system of presidential pardons is corrupt. The Czech Justice Minister has denied claims that a thwarted mutiny in Czech prisons was hatched by members of the Berdych gang. And the town of Karlovy Vary has been asked to pay off bonds issued in 1924 that are now worth 10 billion crowns. Czech President Václav Klaus on Tuesday strongly denied allegations that the system of granting presidential pardons was corrupt. Mr. Klaus told reporters the allegations were devastating. Corruption could not have been involved in the process, the president said, as it did not allow for any outside interference. The president also said he was angry with the weekly Respect that broke the story. Mr. Klaus labeled the publication as criminal. The Weekly reported on Monday the case of a former police officer who had been sentenced to jail on corruption charges. The policewoman told two witnesses a pardon had been bought for her, and she later received a pardon from President Václav Klaus. Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil on Tuesday denied claims that a thwarted mutiny in the number of Czech prison last week was hatched by jailed members of the Berdych gang, the largest organized crime ring to go on trial in the country's modern history. Mr. Pospíšil told the Četeka news agency that the speculation surrounding the alleged role of the Berdych gang in the mutiny was unsubstantiated. He also rejected claims that the mutiny was uncovered by the country's counterintelligence service. The town of Karlovy Vary in the west of the country has been asked to pay off bonds issued in 1924 that are now worth around 10 billion crowns, a spokesman for the local town hall said on Tuesday. The request was filed by the controversial U.S. lawyer Edward Fagan on behalf of the bond's owners. Karlovy Vary Mayor Petr Kulhánek is to meet Mr. Fagan on Thursday to discuss the issue. The Czech National Bank has confirmed the existence of the bonds, while the finance ministry said it needed more time to study the case. Karlovy Vary, then known as Karlsbad, issued the bonds in 1924. Their maturity was set at 30 years. But its German-speaking inhabitants were expelled after the war, and the town was repopulated by Czechs. Czechs again topped the list of Europe's biggest shoplifters, according to data released by the UK agency Centre for Retail Research on Tuesday. The survey suggests that goods worth around 9.6 billion crowns have been stolen or lost in Czech shops this year, which is an increase of nearly 18% compared to last year. Shoplifting, together with theft by employees, accounted for 1.53% of total retail sales, compared to 1.4% last year. The research shows that alcohol, cosmetics and electronics are among the items stolen most frequently. Czech footballer Martin Fenin, currently a striker for FC Cottbus in the second German division, announced on Tuesday he was putting his career on hold to seek treatment for abuse of antidepressant drugs. His problems took a dramatic turn on Saturday when the 24-year-old footballer was hospitalized with hemorrhage. According to media speculation, he fell out of the window of his second-floor apartment after mixing medication with alcohol. Martin Fenin moved from the Czech club Teplice to Germany's top division Eintracht Frankfurt in 2008. He earned a spot on the national team, but his career recently took a turn for the worse, and he moved to FC Cottbus earlier this season. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The current spell of sunny conditions will be replaced by wet and rainy weather by midweek, with the highest daytime temperatures ranging between 8 and 12 degrees Celsius. My name is Andrej Richter, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. In today's program, the police and prison guards prevent a major prison mutiny planned across several jails in the Czech Republic. We talk to South Korea's ambassador to Prague, Gabriel Oh, about Korean food and bilateral relations and much more. Then, a little later in the program, stay tuned for another edition of Czech History. It has emerged that police and prison guards last week thwarted the biggest ever prison mutiny planned in the country's history. The plot was allegedly hatched by jailed members of the Berdych gang, the largest organized crime ring in the Czech Republic, with links to former elite police officers, and it's said to have involved dozens of prisoners in jails around the country. Daniela Lazarova has more.
News of the biggest prison mutiny in the country's history was not intended for public disclosure and had received the highest degree of classification given to information with possible repercussions to national security. But when commercial TV Prima broke the story on Monday night, officials made no attempt to deny it. Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil.
Yes, I was informed about the matter about a week ago by the police. I was told there were preparations for a mutiny in a number of jailhouses, and it appears that the prisoners involved in it were able to communicate and keep each other informed about the plot.
The planned revolt allegedly involved prisoners scattered in up to 10 jailhouses. Many were found to have a collection of crude handmade weapons in their cells, but according to one source, also firearms, which were to have served in the initial phase of the rebellion to kill or pacify prison guards. Within minutes, prisoners were to have taken over the respective control centres of these prisons to prevent officials from raising the alarm and calling in reinforcements. And in the final stage, mutineers were to have broken into weapons storerooms and armed themselves with pistols and machine guns. The mutiny was to have taken place simultaneously in a number of jailhouses in order to paralyse the system and create chaos. Police and prison guards allegedly cracked down on the mutineers at the 11th hour, raiding prison cells, confiscating dozens of weapons and reinforcing security in prisons around the country. According to TV Prima, the plot was unearthed by the country's counterintelligence service, which was evasive in its statement. Counterintelligence spokesman Jiří Schubert.
Pokud se v uplynulých dnech v našich věznicích odehrál nějaká akce, nemáme...
If a clampdown took place in the country's prisons, then I must say that it was not planned by us. It was not masterminded by us, and it does not fall within our competence. However, as far as organized crime is concerned, then it is true that we monitor every sphere that might bring relevant information.
V každém prostředí, které může důležité informace poskytnout.
Commentators and experts point to the fact that if the Berdy gang was behind the plan, then its members still have active contacts not just with the outside world, but among themselves in a variety of jailhouses. An ongoing investigation is to reveal if they had accomplices within the country's prison services or ranks of the police. Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil told the press it was premature to say what repercussions the thwarted plot might have.
Jedná se samozřejmě o závažnou věc, to znamená ta věc dále...
It is naturally a grave matter, and it is now under investigation. I really cannot say where it is going to lead. But when there are concrete results, then respective decisions will be made, and the public will naturally be informed. All I can say now is that I get regular reports, and I can assure you there is no threat to public safety at the present time. The Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil ending that report by Daniela Lazarová looking at the largest planned prison mutiny in Czech history, which luckily was thwarted at the last minute. You're listening to Radio Prague. If you have any comments or questions for us here at the station, please write to us. The address is english@radio.cz. Now, in the coming weeks, people in Prague will have a unique opportunity to sample traditional dishes and delicacies from South Korea, thanks to an event organized by the country's embassy. At the launch in a Prague hotel, Pavla Horáková spoke to the ambassador of the Republic of Korea to the Czech Republic, Gabriel Oh, and first asked him whether Czechs have many opportunities to try Korean food in restaurants or to buy the necessary ingredients.
There are about 15 Korean restaurants in Prague and in Ostrava, especially in Ostrava. The Hyundai Motor Company is located. And there are three Korean grocery shops in Prague. And then you may also buy Korean food ingredients in Tesco and Makro as well.
Now, turning to Czech cuisine, Czech food is known to be rather heavy or stodgy, but still, do you have a favorite dish?
Yes, I found that Czech dishes are rather very similar with Korean ones. So Korean tourists are really enjoying Czech food. And I personally like to eat pork knee and duck leg. I love it.
You've already mentioned the Hyundai plant in Nošovice. Also, there's an extensive student exchange between our two countries, and for example, a Korean TV series was made in Prague recently. But there's certainly more to the bilateral relations of our two countries.
Yes, we had a Korean drama called Lovers of Prague, which was filmed here and shown with 20 episodes. So many Koreans watch it the TV, and they like to come here to Prague to see with their own eyes the beauty of Prague. So now a little over, I think, 100,000 Koreans are coming here for tourism every year. Before, they used to come only Prague, but lately they visit Český Krumlov and also Karlovy Vary and other beautiful places in the countryside.
Do they also come to the Czech Republic to do business?
Of course, since they are here and find interesting, some of them seem to seek opportunities to do business in the Czech Republic.
And having mentioned Hyundai and its suppliers, are other Korean companies interested in investing in the Czech Republic?
Yes, there are many Korean companies which are interested in investing in the Czech Republic because your government is promoting investment, especially in the IT and service areas. So Korean companies in that areas are also interested in investing.
I would say that many Czechs know more about Korean consumer electronics than they do about Korean culture. Is there a cultural exchange between our two countries?
Of course, Czech music, including Philharmonic Orchestra or opera, are very popular in Korea. On the other hand, for example, Seoul Philharmonic Orchestra came here last year, and also Korea Modern Art Exhibition or I Have Photograph Exhibition were held at Belletrisny Palace. And lately, Korean pop song, they call it K-pop, is very popular among young Czechs, mostly Czech girls. Through internet. I heard there are about 1,000 fans who almost every day listen to K-pop music through earphone.
That was the South Korean ambassador to Prague, Gabriel Oh, speaking to Radio Prague's Pavla Horáková. Now it's time to turn to another edition of Czech History, which was first broadcast in 2007. Rob Cameron spoke to Jana Horáková-Kanský, the daughter of Milada Horáková.
In Czechs in History this week, I'll be speaking to Jana Horáková-Kanský, daughter of one of Czechoslovakia's best-known victims of communist oppression, Milada Horáková. Jana, Milada Horáková's only child, was just a teenager when her mother was executed on trumped-up charges of treason in 1950. Her father, who was also targeted by the communist regime, made a daring escape from Czechoslovakia shortly afterwards, leaving Jana in the care of relatives. For years, she was denied the opportunity to study at university, finally finding work as a dental technician. In 1968, she emigrated to the United States, where she's lived ever since. I sat down with Jana Horáková-Kanský at a cafe on Prague's Letná, a few minutes away from the busy road that now bears her mother's name.
I was born in the period before the Second World War. And my parents were both very successful people. My father was the journalist, and my mother was involved in the social position on the Prague Municipal Organization or Council. They lived in Smíchov in this residential section there. Since they were successful, we had a housekeeper and I had a nanny, which ended when the German arrested my parents.
During that period, that idyllic period before the war started, was it a happy childhood for you?
Oh, definitely, definitely very happy childhood.
Your mother, Milada Horáková, she was a campaigning politician and a passionate advocate of women's rights, a resistance hero, a concentration camp survivor, and of course, the victim of Czechoslovakia's most famous, most infamous show trial. She was also, of course, just your mother. What kind of mother was she to you?
She was a very caring person. When her time allowed, she always was present. And I remember especially our weekends when my nanny was off, and it was like a rule that on Sundays came to our house the parents of my father and her father for lunch, and later my aunt, who was her much younger sister, came to our house too. And after this lunch, sometimes we went to walk, you know, downtown Prague, because it was such a habit to go to to eat this ice cream or some sweets and things like that. She tries always to be present. Of course, sometimes she was not present physically, but she was present mentally 400%. So her life was really, now we would say, stressful.
Now, your mother was arrested by the communists in September 1949, mm-hmm. and you were a young girl. You were, I think, 15.
Yeah.
That must have been pretty hard for a teenager.
Definitely, especially this event when they came to our house to arrest her. It was really hard for me, because my father during that time left the house and wanted to give her alert that they are waiting for her, which was already too late, because she was arrested since the morning from her office. So we were alone there with the housekeeper, and she was a wonderful person. And after a while, my aunt came, and the whole apartment was under the very serious surveil, because they started to check all the drawers and bookcases, and you know. And day after, I was allowed to go and live with my aunt and uncle.
Your father, shortly afterwards, I believe, fled Czechoslovakia, mm-hmm. so leaving you in an even more difficult situation, one might argue, having to face up to all of this virtually on your own.
My father, unfortunately, didn't have the chance to give the warning to my mother, so he didn't have any other chance just to stay away. And he was helped a lot with my uncle and with my aunt and with some friends, close friends. So finally in end of November, he was able to cross the border to the West Germany, where he stayed for another 4 years, because he thought that it would be possible for us to follow him. He sent several walking agents over the border to just bring us over, and it was impossible. And then when he realized that this is it, he left to the United States.
Were you allowed to see your mother during the time she was kept in custody by the communists?
Just once. The unfortunate date before she was executed. And it was very difficult and very hard, and please, that's it.
What was running through your mind, and the feelings that were running through the mind of a 15-year-old girl?
What would run through your mind if something like that happened to you? It was sad.
Did the oppression of the communists for you personally end there, or were you further stigmatized by being the daughter of Milada Horáková? Did they try to never let you forget who you are?
I had just the problems. I didn't notice that I am followed, but I was followed permanently. But I didn't notice it because I simply didn't want to notice it. And my colleagues from school, schoolmates, they were really nice. Of course, among them were people who were appointed to give the information how I behave.
To the secret police.
Say. Unfortunately, some of them were my schoolmates. I learned lately, not at that time. The main problem was that I was not allowed to study.
Have you tried consciously to live your life according to the values that your mother instilled in you as a child?
Oh, sure. But, you know, I never was asked to go to join the party or things like that. So
you were never tested?
I was never, you know, many people from my colleagues were asked to join the party. But I think that this, what happened, was such a big thing that they were not, they didn't have enough courage to come and ask me. Of course, maybe it was because the personnel in our clinic was so good. They were so, there were so many nice people there that they probably just sheltered me from that.
So you're obviously affected by the values that your mother instilled in you, but is it sometimes difficult living in her shadow?
You know, I am not sure if it is difficult. I am very proud of her. I know that I would never be able to do the same thing as she did. And I found my own life, which fulfills me greatly.
Now, your mother will, if all goes well, be the subject of a new film, a Hollywood film, which is partly why you're in Prague this week. Do you think a Hollywood movie can do justice to her story?
I don't know if it will make the justice, but I think that it definitely is very important that the Western part of the world would know about her case, about her courage, and about her dignity.
We're sitting in a cafe on Letná Plain, and the park that runs alongside a street called Milady Horáková, named after your mother. What legacy do you believe that she's left this country, and how would you like her to be remembered?
As a very extraordinary woman with enormous courage, enormous feeling for the human beings, and very bright and light person.
Jana Horáková-Kanský, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you too.
You've been listening to Czech History with Rob Cameron. That edition was first broadcast in May 2007. That brings us to the final portion of today's program, which is another edition of Soundcheck, in which you can learn Czech through song lyrics. And today's episode is by Rosie Johnston.
And welcome to Soundcheck, where once a week you can pick up a new Czech idiom or two through song lyrics. Today we'll be listening to a tune by the comedian, singer and banjo player Ivan Mladek called Vysoké Mýto. Vysoké Mýto does mean literally high toll, but the title of the song actually refers to a small town on the Bohemian-Moravian border. In the song, Ivan Mladek laments that Vysoké Mýto, population 12,000, does not have its own empire state building. You'll find out why in a minute, but first the phrase to listen out for, Jasné jak facka.
Jasné jak facka, skončím jak placka, škrabkou mě se škrábnou.
Jasné jak facka means literally obvious or clear as a slap, and translates more figuratively perhaps as clear as day or as plain as day. It's jasne jak facka that Visoké Mito has no skyscraper to challenge New York's Empire State Building. But why is our singer so sad about this fact? Well, the reasons are rather morbid, I'm afraid. Ivan Mladek sings that if the small town did have its own high-rise, then he would take his troubles up to the 200th floor and jump with them off the roof. Here's another listen.
Jasné jak facka, skončím jak placka, škrabkou mě seškrábnou. Tak to vidíš, má milá, vidíš.
Jasné jak facka is an idiom that you'll sometimes hear Czechs say, but the phrase contains one word that abounds in the Czech Republic and that it's definitely useful to know. Jasný means clear and is used in all number of different forms. Perhaps the most frequent phrase you'll hear containing the word is je mi to jasné, literally it's clear to me, and more idiomatically that's clear or of course. Of course can also be said in Czech quite simply as jasně. Before we go on to clarify a few more uses of the word jasný, here's another snippet of Ivan Mladek.
Jasné jak facka, skončím jak placka, škrabkou mě seškrábnou.
So, jasný means clear, and the corresponding verb, to clear up, if you will, is vyjasnit. Vyjasnit can be used in several ways, much as in English. First, the weather can clear up, vyjasní se, or a mystery can be cleared up, zahada se vyjasní. And then vyjasnit can also mean to clarify, so vyjasnit svou pozici would translate as to clarify one's position. And one last usage of the word jasný quickly before I go. If you want to say in Czech that something came out of the blue, then you say it came z čista jasna, literally from the clean clear. It was upon writing this sound check that I realised something about these phrases that I hadn't thought of before. They're probably both linked in that they both seem to refer to the sky or the heavens without expressly saying so. We already talked about how jasný can refer both to the clouds clearing up and to a mystery being cleared up. So, this sound check has cleared something up for me at least, and I hope it has for you too. Naschledanou, goodbye.
Jasné jak facka, skončím jak placka, škrabkou mě seškrábnou. Tak to vidíš, má milá, vidíš, jaké já mám s tebou trápení. Ty máš asi místo srdce kámen, při nejmenším tobě vápení. Je mi to líto, Vysoké Mýto, Empire State Building nemám. Vyjel bych zdvíží, s tím, co mě tíží, skončit se rázem dál.
Soundcheck with Rosie Johnston brings us just about to the end of today's program, but don't forget, if you'd like to comment on anything you've heard in today's show, you can do so by writing to english@radio.cz, or be sure to take part in discussion online on the social networks like Facebook. Also, you can find more news and stories at our website www.radio.cz. For now, though, it's time to say goodbye. I'm Jan Wellinger for all of us here at Radio Prague. Thanks for listening. And take care.